4, CBA Mobile.
2BNG Mobile, how you doing?
Hello, Glenn. How are you doing, sir?
Got a question. These auto OBD diagnostic codes, if there's a permanent code in something, I guess that can't be cleared.
Okay, the codes that cannot be cleared are your ABS and airbag codes. The only way those can be cleared is to fix the problem. There's just no way to clear them. The other codes can be cleared, but they, you know, depending on what the problem is, they'll probably simply come back unless it's something like, you left your gas cap loose and it set a P0455 code, and if you reset that and you've tightened your gas cap, then that code will not come back. But, I guess that's the simple answer.
Car I actually need to test with this thing is a car I don't happen to have right here, that 2007 Saturn. And somebody else was telling me you got some sort of permanent code in the transmission module. I don't know. I'm just now learning how to use these tools. I'm not even sure what a lot of the terminology means, but, I'll figure it out.
Transmissions have their own module, and, it could be something as simple as a reprogramming, what we call a reflash, and it updates the module and fixes the problem, but then it could be something, totally different that, requires a lot more effort and diagnostic work. So, it just depends on what the code is. And, and I don't know that much about Saturn's computer strategy, so, anyway, do you know what the actual code is?
Saturn that I bought, I think, in early December at auction. Okay, right away, these are the crappers you get at auction. I was able to drive it back here easily enough. The transmission doesn't go into overdrive here. I took it to a transmission place in Malden, and he wanted $1,450 to replace the shifter solenoids and, do other routine maintenance and change all the fluids and everything else. I'm like, okay, fine, I can get a new transmission for that. I mean, not a new one, obviously, but... So I took it to this junkyard. I got a transmission for $300. It took me another couple of $100 to put it in there. But that one's got some sort of permanent DTC code, apparently. And I don't think that thing ever really gets out of first gear. It's some kind of limp mode. So the guy at the junkyard still has the Saturn. He says, well, I do have, I did warranty the part. I will try to make it right if I ever get a look at it. So that's the story of where the Saturn is. I should have just paid the transmission shop the money.
When I was at John Finger, we would offer to customers if they didn't want a new transmission, to get one from place like LKQ, and they would warranty it for 6 months or a year, just depending on the transmission. And and of course, if we put it in and it didn't work, then we would take it back out and they'd send us another one, which rarely happened. Most of the time. We have great success with that. But anyway, well, listen, I need to jump out of here for just a minute. I'm at my destination, but I'll be back in here in a minute if you're, or a few minutes if you're going to be around.
Brad, open these windows. I'll be sitting here a few more minutes playing with this. You know, I bought the ODB2 cable for like $50 or so, and there's various PC programs you can download, and I have a much nicer one. You know, I have an Autel Mark 808, but I don't have custody of it right now. And anyway, I'll talk to you later. KD2BNG.
Back in a few. KB4CBA, clear.
I bought recently the USB to ODB2 cable, and there's various computer-based programs you can run. I also have the fancy diagnostic thing, the one that's like a $400 or $500 thing. But yeah, just playing with these tools.
Hopefully you get figured out whatever you're trying to work on.
Mostly it's just a question of knowing, you know, getting to know the tool and the data that it's returning. And, you know, plus there's also other things you can do, like, for example, if I had more key fobs, I could make another key. And, you know, reprogram key fobs, that sort of thing. And, you know, change certain vehicle parameters, like, well, I don't know, on the Ford, Forescan, which is for Ford cars, has a whole bunch of things you can change, if you know what you're doing.
Key right there, knowing what you're doing, because you can get in trouble in a hurry in there.
You save the old data first. When you muck something up, you can load it back in. But, yeah, I was looking for things like that. You know, things like how to make the backup camera stay on longer. Because the backup, when you go to reverse, the backup camera goes on. When you go back to drive, the backup camera is still on for a certain period of time. Because I guess that's useful when you back out of a place, and now you're going forward to merge into traffic, and you still want to see what's behind you. So I'm trying to figure out things like, how do I make that delay longer? You know, that sort of thing. There's also various, like, that vehicle collision avoidance sensor, or things like that. The program I'm using for Ford is called Forescan, and it lets you get into a lot of these things.
That, never heard of it, never used it, so I can't help you much there.
I don't expect you would. I mean, I don't imagine too many people have that much experience with these type of tools. Obviously, I'm not an auto mechanic. I used to be a computer programmer, you know, to the extent that that's useful.
I don't have experience with that tool, but I've got experience with the factory Ford tools and several other the aftermarket tools out there for that stuff.
Autel Mark 808 that I bought on eBay some time ago. I don't have custody of it right now. It was one of those things, you know, where two or three people pull their money and buy something that, you know. But yeah, I have one or two of the fancier tools. I mean, you can spend, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 on these tools for, I'm sure, more professional tools that do even more. It's all software, you know, is what it all is. Add as many software, add as many features as you want to add layers of software.
Most of it is software. There is some hardware for keys and cables and things like that will let you do certain things.
To the, ODB2 to USB or Bluetooth or whatever, other than the physical layer interface, I don't know what the cable itself really does. This is the ODB Link SX cable that I got for like $50 on eBay. Some of them have a switch on the cable somewhere for different. I don't know enough about these things.
The cables we had to have to do programming and to get into parameters, certain parameters to be able to talk to the vehicle. That was their way of keeping people from getting access to things that they didn't really need access to.
I've seen on advertised have some sort of switch on them to toggle between, I don't know, different data modes. I don't know what they would be doing. It's probably just a question of, this is a General Motors secret, but, make the cable so that it grounds this one pin to get access to the extra features.
You may be changing the speed at which you're receiving at, because there's different networks on there that are at different baud rates.
Well, it's gotten to be nuts. What was one, some commentary I read somewhere just recently, the coming software apocalypse. Software controls so many things. Even a simple control program for like an automobile might be a million lines of code. And we really don't know in a lot of cases what it all does and how it all interacts with each other. The systems have already gotten at a level of complexity that they're not that easy to understand. I mean, plus in the case of automotive systems, I think it's gone overboard. The battery has a VIN number now. If you want to swap out the vehicle battery, there's something you got to reprogram or some ridiculous thing.
When you're doing battery resets, you're resetting the alternator so it knows that you put a new battery in and it doesn't overcharge, because the computer now has control of the field wire and knows how much the battery is degraded and how much more it needs to charge instead of just maintaining a certain voltage.
You're basically just telling it new battery, and therefore you should charge it, less aggressively or more aggressively, or, adjust the charging curve somewhat. That's basically what you're saying.
That way you don't overcharge a new battery when it thought it still had the old degraded battery in there and it was trying to maintain voltage to supply all the electrical needs of the car, because the electrical system's so overloaded on these cars today.
What that is a relearn function. You're telling the charge controller, okay, forget what you've known, because it's no longer that battery. Well, I guess to some degree that makes sense. But yeah, I'm just bringing up these screens, and there's like, I would say there's at least 12 to 15 different modules that I guess all communicate. And, and as I said, the software complexity has gotten to the point where, in some cases, we really don't know what it's all doing or how it all interacts.
And there's cars out there that have gotten, when I got out of it 8 years ago, there was cars out there that had 60 and 70 modules in them. And then you'll have a low-speed network, a medium-speed network, and a high-speed network. And then they have what's called LIN networks that reports back to each one of those networks, depending on where it's at and what it's doing.
Soft engineering, I call it. But there again, you almost have to. Because there's features you can only implement that way that traditional electromechanical systems, it would be difficult or impossible to do, or it would be, a rather complicated thing to do. I mean, even a simple thing like adaptive cruise control or the, stay in your lane thing, you couldn't do that without computer systems.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it cut down on the miles and miles of wiring and hardware that was needed to do those functions.
About that. Yeah, put the controller next to the thing it actually has to control. And now all your control functions become basically a network. So the thing that controls every single thing everywhere in the car is a four-wire Ethernet cable. Yeah, it cuts down on the wiring.
Somewhat like that. And then you got systems that use the same sensors to do different jobs. They use the data back from it, like ABS is now used to control wheel speed sensors, it controls training shifts, it controls AC, it controls the radio. It does a lot more than just ABS because there's inputs into each one of those systems from it.
I didn't know they were intertwined to that degree. It's still not going to matter because you can't fix stupid. The part of the car that causes the most death and destruction is the nut behind the wheel.
But I mean, the systems are so interlinked now, it is overly complicated to solve one problem. That's like when somebody says, "Oh, my check engine light's on." It could be any number of things. I mean, there's hundreds of sensors on the car now that are being used for multiple applications, and it could be for one of those or in another system altogether. So, I mean, it's not simple anymore. And the scanner, contrary to everybody's belief, when you hook it up, does not tell you what's wrong with the car. All it does is report back, "This is the information that we have stored."
Exactly. It only tells you what the diagnostic computer knows, or thinks it knows. Yeah, obviously it really can't figure out. How do you expect it to find out anything else? That's true. Maybe that's one of the reasons I got, even the most rudimentary tools is it's just as a form of self-defense. If you could go to a mechanic shop with some report in your hand that looks like you've sort of narrowed it down, they at least know you're not a rube.
You got to be careful doing that because you pigeonhole yourself into thinking this is what's wrong with it. And then when he comes back and tells you, no, this is what's going on with the car, you don't believe him. Therefore, it causes more problems. So you got to be careful with that. Just like everything, when an O2 sensor doesn't mean that the O2 sensor is bad. It could be a vacuum leak. It could be a misfire that's causing it. I mean, any number of things that's causing the O2 sensor to read out of whack, and that's what turned the light on.
I presume to tell you your job. But as I said, I could go to the auto repair technician and says, "This is what the diagnostic computer is saying." I guess it's still up to you to figure out what it means. You know, I wouldn't go so far as to say this is what's wrong.
Surprised at how many people do. They come in and they pull the code out of the car and it says, "I need a O2 sensor," or "I need a mass airflow," and they say, "Put it on," and don't want nothing else diagged, and then they're mad at you because it didn't fix the car. That's how come when you come at me with that, I'll tell you to take the car somewhere else. I won't put up with it.
Yeah, no, you're right. So, I see your point. Yeah, you do have to be more diplomatic than that. My approach would be just basically what I said. Here's what the diagnostic computer says. I leave it to you to figure out what it means. Actually, you're going to run the same report anyway, so I might as well not tell you anything.
And I'm just saying that be careful how you approach the situation. Over the years, I've had a lot of people come in and they say this is what's wrong with it, and they get mad at you or me because I've done what they ask, and then it didn't fix the car, and it causes a whole new issue. A lot of times in the industry, we call it having to fix the customer, not the car.
Customer, not the car. That's a good one. Yeah, and as you know, mass airflow sensor or O2 sensor, whatever the hell it is. You're right, there's a lot of other things that can, hey, you know, you refueled and didn't put your gas cap on properly, and, you know, it could be as simple as that. But, yeah, I'll have to remember that. We got to fix the customer, not the car. Actually, you know, I've seen this in my line of work, too, so I should probably realize that.
We all do it to a degree. I'm just trying to give you a heads up on if you got somebody you trust them to do their job until otherwise.
Right, I don't want to give the presumption that I... Yeah, that's true. You don't want to create the presumption that you actually know anything. But, yeah, that's I see your point there. I don't pretend to have your years of experience. You know, you stay in your lane, and I'll stay in mine.
As a mechanic for years, I'm having to protect my reputation because when something goes wrong, nobody tells them that, hey, I asked them to do it this way, and they did what I asked. All they say is, well, I took it there, and they didn't fix my car or truck or whatever it was. So that's how come I quit doing that stuff. I'm protecting my reputation at this point.
First of that is, you know, as well as, well, as you hinted at earlier, you know, the diagnostic software in a lot of cases can't really tell you what's really wrong anyway. You know, it can't really tell you, hey, man, you haven't changed the oil in 20,000 miles. So, I suppose take it with a grain of salt.
And like I said, sometimes you have to fix the customer along with the car.
And as I said, I was playing with the, the one program, it's called Forescan. You know, runs on a Windows PC. I was playing on that program with the Ford Taurus. It's Ford specific. And this program lets you get into stuff that I don't even understand. So, you know, it's one of those things where if you're not exactly certain what this does, best leave it alone.
Leave it to the people that know what they're doing. Old adage, you can't beat a man at his game. It's like I'm not going to come to you and tell you I know how to program a computer. Don't come to me and tell me you know how to work on a car. I mean, that's just the way it is.
You do realize that we're very, very bad at what we do. If skyscrapers were designed like software, the first woodpecker to come along would destroy civilization. Seriously, I know how software is written. It's not pretty.
That's a good one. It wouldn't take much to punch holes in it, is what you're saying.
You know, that year 2000 problem never really was fixed. What you started hearing a bit, 20 years ago, around the year 2000. You know, the way the problem was fixed in a lot of cases is, okay, we're going to change the software to move the decade forward. In other words, we're going to assume that any year less than 20, let's say, refers to 2020 and not 1920. But of course, 20 years later, that was going to fail. So that just kicked the can down the road.
That's the American way. Just kick it down the road and let somebody else worry about it. But Glenn, I am approaching the state line, so I'm going to have to say 7-3. It's good to talk to you this afternoon and enjoy the conversation. KO4 HKX, and I'll be clear. 7-3.
KD2BNG. All right, 7-3s. You have a good one. Drive safe.
KB4CBA Mobile.
KD2BNG. How's it going?
Well, it took me a little bit longer than I thought. I ran into one of my father-in-law's best friends in there, and he's a talker, and we had a lot to catch up on. And they worked side by side the American Legion there on Main Street there in Greenville, and they were just real good friends. I also worked in law enforcement together. So, yeah, we had a lot of catching up to do. So anyway, took me a while to get out of there.
Tango Mobile.